Well, hi, yeah. My name's Christian, Carl Jan, Christian Roth, Swedish background. My mom came here, and she's in Sweden. I'm sure she'd say hi. So, yeah, and I'm just going to start with a little bit about our ministry. So we're in Copenhagen, where we speak Danish, and we're very proud of our English. You probably can't tell that we even come from Denmark, because we're so good at English, yeah. Jay told me to do that, so I just, you know... I wouldn't normally do that. But anyway, that's what we sound like over there. And I'm working for the International Mission Board. Maybe some of you have heard of that. It's a Baptist organization. And super thankful for our experience there. Southern Baptist Convention. And SBC's been going through some times. But we really had the most exposure to the IMB. And really just... a wonderful, wonderful ministry, the largest, and I would add, most strategic missions force the Protestant church has ever seen. So you guys might be like, well, what about our team? You know, so, well, it's bigger, you know, is the main thing. The main thing, just if you want to understand briefly, like, what is that all about for us, the organization that Christian Roth works for, it's all about reaching the lost. Bottom line, we want to impact lostness throughout the world. We want to go to the places where the greatest density of lostness is, and we want to have the greatest impact possible. That's the bottom line. So there's plenty of places in the scriptures we go for that. Luke 15, you know, seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus came to do. So that's what we're doing. I just want to tell a couple of stories about ministry in Denmark to open up. Like I said, you guys probably remember Karina and Jeff Kreinbrink, my mother and stepdad, and one of the great encouragements I've had has been to work more in the Nordics. They're in Sweden, we're in Denmark, but it's like, you know, Iowa, Kansas, you know, it's like not that far, and small countries. So we've been working with the Gospel Coalition to start this coalition of pastors, and had a conference and did some stuff. And basically, Mom and Jeff have been in Stockholm for about 10 years now, and they've kind of been going to a church for a long time that they kind of thought was their only option, an evangelical church, but, you know, it's kind of pragmatic and not really theologically where they would be, not very biblical, but it's like there's no other options. But we started this TGC Nordic Network, and we started gathering pastors who feel really isolated, the only ones preaching the word in their countries many times. And we got a pastor from Stockholm. You know, and like 6 months ago or so, I like dropped it to Jeff and Mom. I was like, hey, go check out Calvary. It's called Calvary. Check that out. Calvary, Stockholm. And they're like, yeah, well, you know, we're real committed. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Just pray. The Lord will guide you. And a few weeks ago, they started going there and just to check it out, you know, and they were just like, this is awesome. And they're like all in at Calvary, Stockholm. So that's just a little way the Lord has used the ministry that we're doing to even touch my own family. My dad is over there too, and would love for him to come to know the Lord, my biological father. So another thing I wanted to share is just something about the culture in Denmark right now that you can pray for. And then there's one other thing I'd like you to pray for, if you would. There's a law on the books right now by the ruling socialist party to allow gender transition surgery to be decided on by children. So that's shocking enough in and of itself, but all the way down to the age of zero, which doesn't even make any sense. You know, like, how would you ask a zero-year-old if they want to be, you know? And so it's really sad, and in many ways we can look to these parts of the world and say, like, this is where the train is headed when it goes off the rails, like we see perhaps maybe here in America. So the other thing is that I would ask specifically that you would pray for two Danes in our church who are not baptized. And for various reasons, it's a very Lutheran culture there. There's a lot of resistance to that. They're believers, and they're solid in many ways. They're faithful, but they just are resisting. And I really believe that if the Lord put this on their heart, this could be transformative in our little church plant that we've started. So I ask, if you want to pray for them by name, I'm willing to give you their names, but just I don't want to do it publicly. So come talk to me about that afterwards if you'd like to. And I just want to say thank you guys for having me here. Thank you for your prayers and support. You guys have a great team of pastors, amen? Yes, great team of pastors. And they have been so generous to welcome me here, and this is just an awesome, faithful, well-oiled machine here. So praise the Lord for Calvary. Yes, and if you want to come over to Copenhagen, we'd love to have you. So bring a team. I already mentioned that to Jay, and you can talk more about that if you want. But I'll weave more about Denmark as I go through the sermon. How's that sound? Does that sound good? Yes. Let me pray. God, we love you. We thank you for just today. We thank you for gathering us in worship. We thank you for the formal assembly of your people that is not just another Bible study. It's not just two or three assembled. It is the place where you speak. This is the place where your word is unfolded for us. And I, as your humble servant, as we've even read now, I tremble at your word, Father, and I pray that you would grant me the power of your Holy Spirit and the guidance of your word to speak, not a word that is other than what we have in Ephesians 3. I pray that, you know, this microphone that is strapped on my ear here, I thank you for that. Thank you for the technology, but I pray that you would take that off of my head, metaphorically, and put it on your voice, Father. That you would have the microphone today, and that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're looking at Ephesians 3, and I'm just doing verse 7 to 13. So a little more bite-sized, a little more doable, so you can open your Bibles if you would. And I've titled this message, Called to Die for Christ's Bride. Called to Die for Christ's Bride. And I'm going to take these verses, and I'm going to give us five principles, five reasons not to give up on the church. All right? This passage is about the church. It is a beautiful statement about why we exist as a church. And I hope that'll be helpful for us today. But I want to ask this question, why? Why should we talk about this? Why talk about the church? Why talk about holding fast to the bride of Christ? Here's some stats that I just pulled. I know we all went through Corona. We were over there, so we went through a very different thing. But these are just some stats from Lifeway Research. A quarter of Christian adults in the U.S. say that they're attending church at least weekly. That is down a third from those who say they attended as regularly prior to the pandemic. So we're already down 8%. And according to a recent evangelism explosion study conducted by Lifeway Research. Additionally, almost 4 in 5, 79% of Americans say that their lives are not at least somewhat back to pre-pandemic normal, and that's according to Gallup. So you have to ask yourself, obviously, with this going on, is this intentional or unintentional, right? And I think the youth, I'm a younger person, I think we're kind of, there's a lot of giving up on the church going on in the youth too, and is this intentional or unintentional? Are people back to their prior commitments from the pandemic? And you may have heard the Hawkeyes sold out their home season in Iowa City. So I'm thinking people are getting back into their old habits. So I'm thinking that, you know, there's something going on here. There's a forsaking of the church. There's a forsaking of the bride of Christ. Why is that? The Lord knows that for sure, okay? But in any case, the situation, I would say, is not looking good. It's definitely not looking good if we're headed the way that we are over in Denmark. Okay? So let's talk about this today. And I just want to say many of you and perhaps those listening elsewhere online or something have felt, you know, you felt hurt by the church. You felt like the church is just always the same old thing. I remember in high school, one of the brothers Pastor Matt was talking about that I was sharing the gospel with, he was like, you know, I go to church and I just always hear the same thing. I hear that, like, Jesus died for my sins, and I'm like, right, that's good. That's what they should be preaching there, you know. But I think that that's what we have. We think, like, things are just never going to change, or, you know, there's actual real abuse happening in churches around the country. But let me just say that you can't go to the doctor and say you're sick and then be surprised and mad when he gives you a shot, right? Is that right? Is that you following that? The church is a hospital. It's a doctor's office, right? We're sinners, and we can't come to the church and say, hey, I'm sick. I need help. And then, no shots. Don't prick me, you know? Or when you run into other sick people at the doctor's office. That's really relevant, right? Pandemic, right? Like, everybody's like, you know, don't get me sick. So I got 5 reasons today not to give up on the church. We ready for that? Sound good? We're Baptists here, so we can talk a little bit, right? Yeah? 5 reasons, and they're all L's. Check that out. Liberty, license, light, learning, and legacy. I don't know if I have a slide for that. No, I don't. Liberty, license, light, learning, and legacy. Can you guys all say that? Liberty, license, light, learning, legacy. Let's go. Let's look at verse 7 from Ephesians 3. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. I love the start of this. Paul is about to pray for the Ephesian church. We read the whole passage. And it's almost like he interrupts himself. Why? Because he's excited about God's people. He's excited. He's about to like start a prayer. He's like, and then he comes into this verse 7 where he's like, oh, wait a minute. I need to remind them of the beauty and the power of the church. And then he says this, which was given me by the working of his power. Okay? So in this verse, we see what? The gift of God's grace and the privilege and the freedom that Paul feels in preaching the gospel. So this is my first point, liberty. Okay, everybody say liberty. Liberty. The church is the only band, the only drum that beats the same thing because it's the only thing that can set you free. Liberty. There's a freedom in the bride of Christ. This is the place we come to receive forgiveness. How many of you guys were in marching band in high school? Marching band, anybody? There's this big band drum they have, right? Like the one with the kind of the guy that has it strapped onto the back. They need a big guy like me. I wasn't in the marching band, but boom, boom, you know, it's kind of the metronome, like Pastor Mike up here, he's the metronome. The gospel is the metronome of the church. It is that big drum that just beats. And what does it say? Come here to find freedom. Come here to find liberty. Come here to be changed, because everywhere else you go, it may feel more free, but it's not. It's an enslavement. And I just want to start the message here today to say that the liberty that we have in Christ is untouchable. And the church is the only institution in the world where we can come and we are going to get the same message. Christ died for the forgiveness of sins. Amen? Christ died to set us free. And there's no one in the world that can come into the church and say, water that message down. Just preach a little bit of a different gospel. You know what? Why don't we add some requirements? Why don't we make it a little bit more trendy? The church is where you come to find liberty. There is one gospel, and it is simple. It is believe on Christ and his finished work, and you will be saved. Amen? Amen? It is not for the strong. It is not for the healthy. It is not for the talented. It is not for the heroes. It is for those who are weak and know their need of Christ. There's a song written by my friend Nick Powell. I don't know if I was going to quote this later or not. I won't quote it later. It's called The Crucifix Tree. And it goes like this. The chorus goes like this. The fruit hangs high for the proud, hard for the strong, tall for the healthy, and for those who've done no wrong. But for you and for me, for the weak and in need, the fruit hangs low on the crucifix tree. The gospel makes the fruit of joy, the fruit of meaning, the fruit of purpose, the fruit of a life given to God, a low-hanging fruit. Why? Because it's for the weak. But for the proud, for the strong, for the self-reliant, it's high. It's hard. Amen? So that's my first point. Liberty. That's why you don't give up on the church. It's the only place to go for the gospel. Verse 8, I'll keep reading. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, Paul has kind of been referring to this in different ways in this chapter. And what is he referring to? The privilege that is given to him to preach this gospel. And I'm using the word license. Everybody say license. License. It's a license. We have a license to preach. Not everybody, maybe, I don't know, but we all do to each other. And this is the point. Through the church, we are endowed with a license to preach this pure, powerful gospel, which is an immense and empowering privilege. How many of you guys know James Bond? Right? He had a license to kill, right? But how did he get that? How did James get that? I guess I don't know exactly. They don't have like a training montage in the Bond films. They should. But, you know, the point is that the license to preach, and there's different versions of this, right? There's the high church, and then there's more us Baptists. But the license to preach comes through the church. Like the laying on of hands and the affirmation and the immense privilege that Paul is describing here came through his experience in the early church. It came through Barnabas, really. It was the main one with Paul. But this is the reason we don't give up on the church, because this is where you come to receive that. And I think that you've probably heard of these pastors who can just get it online. You know, like I just applied online and became a reverend in the Church of the Spaghetti Monster and these sorts of things. Like, okay, but that's not legitimate, and we know that. What's legitimate? It's the Holy Spirit at work in the people and the leadership and the elders of a church. Laying on of hands, okay? The church has always been the training ground that... And this is the interesting thing. It's not just for preaching. It's for many things. The way you go out and change the world, I think so much of that, the training ground, is the church. Any Taylor Swift fans in here? Yeah. Oh, no? Okay. My wife's a Taylor Swift fan. She's watching probably. So, she started singing at the church, right? I think that's the story. She was like a gospel choir singer And you know, that's where she learned the simple songs that connect with people in a concrete way. And now look at her, right? She's changing the world. She says no to Spotify even. It's like, man, you can say no to Spotify. You must be really legit. And this is something we deal with in Denmark, by the way. Back to Denmark and the Nordics. There is definitely a watering down of the Christianity, an easy believism mentality that says, you know, it's not a very serious thing, church. Like, if you believe in God, it's kind of like believing, you know, in the tooth fairy. Like, it's kind of like anything goes in the church. And this is why God raised up people like Bonhoeffer. This was in Germany, but in the Lutheran church, to say, when Christ calls a man to follow him, this is a quote from Bonhoeffer, he bids him, anybody know it? Come and die, which is another way of saying take up your cross. So let me just ask you now at this point in the message. It's called Called to Die for the Bride of Christ. Are you called to die? You are called to die. Are you living that way? Are you on cruise control with your relationship with Christ? Are you on cruise control with your involvement in the church? Or are you coming to Christ daily and saying, I'm yours. I die to myself. Let me keep reading. Verse 9. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things. All right, so we've had liberty. Everybody say liberty.
Liberty.
License. Everybody say license.
License.
And now we've got light. Everybody say light. So this verse has been much debated, and I don't need to necessarily get into all that today, a little bit of a different focus. But what do I want to focus on in this passage? It says here, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan. Okay? So, The church illuminates God's plan to the world. And this comes up again in verse 11. The church is the eternal purpose of God. God has only one plan to save the world. Did you know that? Like, there's lots of ministries. Praise the Lord. But God has one plan, and it is He will make a bride pure and holy for His name's glory. Amen? God has one plan for the world. It is His plan A. It's not like God's like, oh, I'll make the world perfect. Oh, shoot, they sinned. Well, I guess the church will have to do, you know? I think we feel that way sometimes, right? We're like the beta version of culture in church, you know? Like, we kind of like try to do what the culture is doing, only like we never quite do it as well, you know? Or feel that way? I feel that way, insecure. I'm a church planter, that's probably why. But Paul says this is God's preordained plan from eternity past. Paul connects this to creation. What does he say? God who created all things. Right? So bring to light, and then he goes back to God as creator at the end of the verse, verse 9. Just as God said, let there be light in creation, he says that with the church. He says, let there be light. And what is the result of that? It is the result is that the church illuminates the world, shines forth God's plan. We adopted our oldest son, Jeremiah, and we really thought it was important for us to make this our plan A. Plan A for adoption, get that? You know, a little pun, a little play on words there. Dad joke. Plan A, why? Because, and what I mean by that is we didn't try to have biological children first. We wanted to adopt. Because we believe that God says another place in Ephesians, his plan A was adoption. His plan A was to adopt people into a family, the church. His plan A, he has one biological son, that's Jesus. The rest of us, adopted. We're adopted. Anyway, that's kind of a side point. But the point is that the church is a light and we are his plan A. This is a huge encouragement for us in Copenhagen, I'll just say. Like I said, we're planning a church, New Song Kirken, New Song Church, www.newsongkirken.com if you want to check us out. We use the Gospel Coalition's confession statement. And let me tell you, there are very few churches in Copenhagen. Very few. One per 50,000, and that's of any kind. So you start talking about Bible preaching churches, it's tough, tough soil. And it feels like creation ex nihilo. You know that phrase, from nothing? That's literally what church planting feels like in Copenhagen. It's like you are just starting from scratch and praying for a miracle. Like, literally. We were involved in planting Redeemer Church here in Cedar Rapids that Calvary kind of helped. And, you know, the thing about church planting in America is, you know, there's Christians around. You know? Like, I know you guys feel like things are getting tough in the States and everything. I'm like, let me just assure you guys, like, things are going pretty well here. You know, Roe v. Wade was overturned. Like, we're looking over there like, oh, man, things are going great in America, you know? And there's churches, there's people, there's bigger churches, there's faithful Christians, there's missional Christians who are like, oh, yeah, I would move across town to start a church. Like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, in Denmark, it's like, no. I'll come to church once a month, perhaps. It's tough. So pray for us. Verse 10, I'll keep reading. So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known. Verse 10. All right. So we've got liberty. Say liberty. Liberty. We've got license. Say license. License. We've got light. Say light. Life. Now we've got learning. Say learning. Learning. Check this out. Paul says the manifold wisdom of God might be what? Made known. It's a knowledge word. Okay? The church is, and always has been, I believe, the pillar of truth in the world. And right now, I'm just going to add to this point, we live in a post-truth age. And there's not any one party that's guilty for that, in my opinion. There's not any one type of group and culture that's guilty of that. There's been a lot of propaganda from Putin now over, and, you know, there's been a lot of not really caring about what's true. We live in an age where people don't really care about what's right. They just want to know what makes them feel good, right? And the church is the place. If that frustrates you, like, don't give up on the church, because the church is the pillar of truth. The word here, manifold, wisdom, I don't love the translation in English, but when I thought about it more, anyway, the Greek word is polypoikilos. Now, I'm using a different pronunciation of the Greek there, if you guys have studied Greek, but we can talk about that afterwards. But polypoikilos, which has poly in it, so you may recognize that poly. Manifold. I don't know what you guys think of when you think of a manifold. I think of an exhaust manifold, right? Which is a car part, which doesn't necessarily communicate a lot, until you actually think about what a manifold is. Because a manifold is also on like a switchboard. The manifold is the place where all these wires come together. Same thing on an exhaust manifold. You know, most people who don't know cars, you haven't been on the inside of a car, you think of a manifold, you just think of like the little end. But a manifold is where all these things come together. What does that mean? It means it's multifaceted. I think that's the better translation. Multifaceted wisdom of God. It highlights the diversity, that's a buzzword, it highlights the plurality of God's wisdom. And here's the deal. This might be counterintuitive to us, but the beauty of God in Christ and in the gospel is multifaceted. It's not one size fits all. It's not one culture. It's not one color of skin fits all. Do you know that? There's this crazy thing happening in the world right now. Maybe you followed the news with like the Methodist Church and the Anglican Church, where there's these huge historic denominations, but they have way more Christians in the global South, especially Africa. And like the African Christians oftentimes are like really Bible-believing, many of them. And so they're getting really mad, the direction of the Anglican Church and the Methodist Church, and they're like disassociating with the fellowship. This is true of God's people. There is a multifaceted, and that doesn't just apply to cultures. It applies to different backgrounds, different ways of thinking. There's a book by Vern Poitras called Symphonic Theology, where he talks about how if you have a symphony and you only have the brass section, it wouldn't be a very good symphony. What is great about a symphony is that it's all these different things together, like an exhaust manifold, coming together, and it makes beauty. That's true of the church, too. The church is the pillar of truth, and that truth is diverse in its excellencies. And this is true of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We shouldn't be surprised. Like, three in one. Amen? We should delight in this, okay? So let me ask you this. How are you, as a member of this church, making known, how are you being a support to that pillar? How are you making known the many-faceted truth of God in Southwest Cedar Rapids today? How are you doing that? Are you embracing the call to beautifully and courageously fight for truth? Or are you using, perhaps, the license that we talked about? There is a license to preach. Are we using that for ourselves? Are we hoarding that? Okay? Have you embraced this lifestyle? We talked about that. Get out there. Make disciples. That is the call for everyone. I wanted to mention, I hope it's okay, Chad Parks. And I know his loss was a real... It was hard for me, too. I wasn't super close, but good friend. And I just loved his passion for evangelism and his passion to just get out there amongst the people, playing the band, you know, I don't remember, but I think he started going to the farmer's market and doing the evangelism. And I just love that. Like, don't give up on that, Calvary. Can I say that? Don't give up on that call. Keep engaging in evangelism. Invite people. Reach out to the culture. All right, let me keep going. 10b here. This is the second half of verse 10. To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And this is my last one, last point, and then we'll close with an exhortation. But everybody say liberty,
liberty.
License,
license,
light,
light.
Learning,
learning,
legacy.
Legacy.
And this is from 10b. To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Okay? This is referring, I think, to spiritual realities and spiritual, you could even say spiritual warfare. Paul goes there in Ephesians 6. But I wanted to talk about it in a little bit of a different light here. And that is this. The church has a staying power as the only institution that God will uphold forever. Paul says that the church serves as an enlightening power of the manifold wisdom of God to what? To the rulers and authorities. What do rulers rule? Usually. What do authorities exercise authority over? Structures and historical institutions. So what is he saying here? He's saying in light of the onslaught of evil attacks from rulers, spiritual, but also in the world, this is a reality, we need historical institutions to add staying power to the efforts of the church. Does that make sense? I had a picture of a meme. You put that up right now? Did we get that? Yes. There's a popular, I think, amongst the youth right now to say, we want to be like a resistance. Oh, that's our family, yes. Okay, that's our family. That's kind of on point too, but the next one. It's a meme. It's a comic meme. Yeah. What you thought joining the resistance would look like, right? This is the youth, and then this is what it actually looks like. You know, like, there's this great song on Christian radio right now. It's like, when did compassion become, like, edgy? You know? When did joining the resistance become this? And that's the truth. We need, and I think the youth are hungry for this. You guys may not realize that, but there's this book by Sarah McLaughlin. It's written to teenagers. And the thing she opens with, it's an apologetics book. And the first point she opens with is how you can have a healthy, like, well-functioning life. That's her first apologetic argument. Like, when I was in high school, I would have heard that. I'd been like, who cares? Like, what's true? Right? Like, you know, like, I want to go do that. You know, like, who cares about, like, a healthy... But she's doing this because the kids, they're just, like, emotionally a wreck. I think institutions are crumbling. And there is this hunger for just, like, just show me, like, a plan that works. You know? And here it is. That's the plan that works. Big surprise. So you can take that down. Even though it's bright and colorful. In Denmark, we were actually recently accused of being a cult on Facebook. We were accused of being a heavenly elf-worshipping cult. So, that was interesting. And why is that? Well, you know, we're called New Song. It sounds a little touchy-feely and all that, but we're actually exploring joining a network called the Pillar Network that is more historical, confessional Baptist churches. And I just want to encourage Calvary, you guys here today as well, like, you guys are a historic church. That is rare. It is beautiful. I mean, Mark Knoll went to this church, didn't he? Yeah, there you go. See, like, that kind of thing. Who can say that? Like, you guys have been faithful for generations. And that may feel sometimes like you're slipping, you're losing the culture. And, like, yeah, that's true. But the Lord needs you to remain steadfast and cling to that legacy. And realize that if you try to reinvent yourselves, and I'm not saying you don't do things, obviously, and everything, but don't be creative. I'm just saying, like, you may lose that legacy. There's a legacy here at this church, and I praise the Lord for it. I went to Moody Bible Institute. Similar, you know, similar thing. If we're going to have a lasting presence in this culture, we need historically rooted churches and the people steeped in the time-tested Word of God. Amen? So let me just close reading the last three verses and then exhort you a little bit from verse 12 and 13. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you. So I referred to verse 11 already earlier. The purpose of God is the church, the plan. And then he says in verse 12 and 13, I love Paul. Don't you love Paul? He says these like emotive words. Have boldness and access with confidence. Okay? That's one of the things I want to point out. And be, like, do not lose heart. Be bold. Okay? So first of all, I want to talk about this be bold and this not losing heart. Why? Why should you not be bold? Because, Paul says, you have a confident access. And we know this from Hebrews maybe, but this is, I think, in part about prayer. Be bold in our prayers. Be expectant in our prayers. How often do we come to God and say, you know, maybe sort of use me if you think you want to, and like really just slam the door open for me so I know exactly what to do and I need to have a spreadsheet to like follow. You know, I like spreadsheets, but there's a boldness that Paul says here. We have a gospel that says it is for the weak. It is for the lowly. It is like, yes, do some training, but there's no one that can disqualify you for ministry if God is calling you. Amen? The gospel. You might say, well, Christian, you're Swedish and tall. Easy for you to say, right? I don't know if those things are relevant or not, but let me just remind you, the gospel is what qualifies you. You are justified by faith alone. Christian, I don't feel that confidence. But go to the Lord in prayer and be bold and expectant. That's a phrase I remember from Jay's preaching from high school. I don't know if you remember that. You still say that a lot, but be expectant when you pray. You have access to the heavenly throne room bought by Christ. Secondly, this other part of do not lose heart, in verse 13, he says, do not lose heart. And I just want to encourage you specifically, do not lose heart in evangelism. Evangelism, it feels like a grind doing evangelism sometimes, doesn't it? It's like nothing works, there's no fruit. Our church plant is doing evangelism today. Actually, they did it a few hours ago because we're on a different time schedule. And that's kind of something that I have a heart for. And I know that they're like, don't have as much of a heart as I do sometimes for it. And so God put on my heart to write an email to the church, Podensk in Danish, and say, I, in commiseration with you, I'm going to go to the farmer's market Saturday night. And I'm going to share the gospel with people. And if I have to go alone, I will. And I did. I went last night, and interestingly enough, I got a message from some folks at the church, including my wife, Stephanie, and, oh, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. We don't know if we're going to be able to do it. And I'm like, okay. And then it, you know, started raining here last night. And I was down at the farmer's market, and I was watching the weather, and I was praying and just kind of walking, and like, oh man, this is awkward. Like, and this is how you always feel when you do evangelism, by the way. This is stupid. Why am I doing this? No one cares. This is dumb. That's how you always feel. Like, you feel like you're going to throw up a little bit in your throat. You ever feel that way? Like, and I always feel that way, which is spiritual warfare. It is. There's no clearer moment that we know is spiritual warfare. And, I was like, it's going to start starting to rain. I'm like, oh, great. Well, maybe this is good. You know, like I go under a tree and there's some people there and I could talk to. And then like the security guard walks up to me and he's like, we're closing the farmer's market for half an hour. I'm like, great. I'm like, okay, maybe the Lord just wants me to relax. You know, like maybe that's, you know, stop doing evangelism. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know if that's the thing. But the security guard is like, okay, we're just going to ask people to go for half an hour under the library or under this parking ramp. I'm like, I'll go into the library. And guess what? A bunch of people went right there. And I had a captive audience for like 40 minutes. And I got to share with Joel and Alex and got to really challenge them, not just sharing the gospel, but to take discipleship seriously. Joel had parents that were, I hope he's not listening. I did invite him today, but he's not going to come. But he has parents that take the faith seriously, but he himself has not, and got to challenge him. So I just want to encourage you, do not lose heart. And you might say, Christian, I'm an introvert. Easy for you. You like talking to people. My wife is an introvert. And guess what? She knows that when God calls her to talk to someone, it's the Spirit's guidance. Whereas for me, I'm like, I just like talking to people, so sometimes it's harder for me to be effective. But when God calls her to talk to someone, like, she knows that, and she's been really effective, actually, for that reason. But we haven't seen any fruit, Christian, like, and you know this, but we're called to faithfulness, right? We plant, we water, God gives the growth. And lastly, evangelism in the church, ministry in the church, evangelism. Oh man, it's hard to invite people. It just feels like the same old thing. I love this quote, and I'll end with this quote from Ed Stetzer. The church is not judged by its seating capacity. The church is judged by its sending capacity. Amen? Like, if we're being faithful to the mission of God, that is what the Lord looks upon as faithful. If we're making disciples, and if we can't get everybody together for one big service, like, that is not what the Lord is going to judge us by. He's going to judge us by our sending capacity. So thank you for sending us. Thank you for the other people that you have sent. And I'd love to talk to you afterwards. I'm going to have little Danish flags back there. And you can sign up for our newsletter. I forgot to mention that. And we can talk more if you want. So let me close in prayer. God, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for bringing us here and just bringing us under your word, which is life-giving. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the joy of gathering together and hearing your word. And we pray that we would not come away from this place with a heaviness or a sense of guilt, but a conviction and an encouragement that there is a boldness, there's an access to you, not based on our own works, not based on our own faithfulness, not based on any of those things, but on your Spirit, on the gospel. I pray that you would remind us that we are a sent people, that we are a people called out to go into the world and sow the seeds of the gospel in grace and peace, into our workplaces, into our families, into our hobbies, Lord God, that you would send us right now from this place. In Jesus' name, amen.